Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Andy Mazur alongside the fellows as we're in single-digit number of days away from getting ready to play this season opener at home against the Minnesota Vikings. And there's a lot to cover here in our 2 hours. We'll be with you until 6 o'clock today. But most notably, as mentioned in the open, Ben Johnson takes over. We were talking a little bit about him, but you know, before the draft, during our draft show, but it looks as though the team's responding to him, and it looked like training camp went pretty well.
Well, first and foremost, OB, you know, Andy gets a new position here, boy. He gets the open all wound up and tight, didn't he? That was beautiful open. Guys, without being a little over dramatic, this is really a profound time for Bears and mainly for Bear fans. Think about this. For the last 30 plus years, the Bears have wandered around in a dysfunction like Mr. Magoo, bumbling, fumbling, and desecrating this once wonderful and proud franchise. I got to tell you, it's a new day, it's a new plan, it's a new season because of the new man. You just mentioned his name, and that is Ben Johnson. Now, the one thing is, I am struck by, and OB, we'll talk about this a little bit here in the open, because he's been here 6 months, and you and I, we've talked on a number of occasions, and we can't wait to get the season started. And there's a lot of reasons why we're very, very optimistic. But his Andy, I've watched this game a long time, and I've watched all these, this conga line of fools, you know, try to coach in the league, and more importantly, try to coach our franchise. But his attention, I'm talking about Ben Johnson, his attention to detail, his work ethic, his desire to win has really breathed new life and purpose into the Chicago Bears.
Now, you've been holding them accountable, Dan, in practice.
I love it. Yes. And all the things, and we're going to break it down how he, you know, he's a glutton for punishment about, you know, making sure that everybody understands exactly not only what they have to do individually, but what they're trying to accomplish as a team. I got to tell you, when he was hired, I was excited, but not nearly as excited as I am now, as we are here on the cusp, 8 days away of getting the new season off.
Well, hopefully, Dan, and I understand your enthusiasm, and does it look like there's, in the near future, does it look brighter? Yes, it does. Number one, because of the head coach and his assistants and people that he brought in, okay? We have to, Dan, there's so much work that we have to do, folks, to get better and be competitive in the NFL, let alone our own North Division, which is the toughest division in the NFL. Last year, you know, people talk about our offense all the time, our quarterback. We struggle to convert on third down. We struggle to move the ball down the field. We struggle to score points. We come out at halftime, and we don't move. We don't make any different positive movements offensively or defensively in the third quarter, which is extremely important if you want to win in this game. At halftime, it's called adjustments. We don't adjust. And the thing that what has to be, let alone our offense, folks, let's just, last year, our defense, of the 32 teams, you know, because they slid by the whole year, they ranked 27th out of 32 teams. They gave up 354 yards a game. You're not going to win anything doing that. I don't care how good your offense is. So we're worried about the offense and our offensive line getting better and everything else. Somebody better take a hard look at our defense also. Okay? We ranked 27th and gave up getting closer to 400 yards a game. You're not going to win a lot of games, especially in our division, Dan. And there's a few things that I want to get into, and it's about attitude and what I saw the first – three exhibition games. And I'll just dab into it a little bit. we played against some pretty good quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the MVP of the league from Buffalo, and Miami's quarterback. All three of those quarterbacks started and played, and they wore their jersey and their pads. They wore their uniform the entire four quarters. Okay? Did you take a look at our quarterback? Did you take a look at our guys that they set? First game, they set nine people. They're in T-shirts and sunglasses. To me, that is disrespectful to your teammates and the many, many great Chicago Bear fans. Who the hell do you guys think you are? How dare you? You've got the MVP of the league, kept his uniform on out of respect for his teammates. And again, Patrick Mahomes, the last exhibition game, basically a week ago or whatever, he started, he plays, our guy's in a T-shirt, and these guys are wearing sunglasses, and he wore his uniform all the way to the end of the game also. That really got under my skin. You know what? It's enough already to play this game and understand how you attack defensively and move the ball down the field and score points offensively, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I know Ben Johnson, what Dan said, and I was looking at that. But, Ben, I didn't see any correction there, Danny. And to me, to see that, guys walking around in T-shirts and sunglasses. And the reason why you play exhibition games, we play three of them, is to get ready for the season. Not to get ready, to get ready. We'll see what happens come Monday night. And again, our defense, people better start thinking about that. We always talk about offense, we got to score points, how we struggled and struggled. We ranked 27th, folks, our defense last year.
Well, and you know what, OB, I just like you, I was appalled at what I saw. But
Dan, how could you not keep your jersey on and your pads? I mean, I can't.
You hit it. It's disrespectful. It is a football team. 53 men for a single purpose. And certain players aren't given options to wear different types of, you know, attire. I didn't like it. And I think in the future, we won't see that. But you are dead on. And Andy, you say, oh, it's a little thing. Well, guess what?
Little things mean a lot, especially in this game. Mm-hmm. Why? There's only 17 of them that count.
And you only get three to get ready. Are we ready to go? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. The Bears were a two-point favorite. Now we're a two-point underdog. A lot of people are taking note of it, and I don't like that, Andy.
All right, we'll dig into the training camp itself and Ben Johnson's first one as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coming up, we'll take a quick time out here. That was Ben Johnson, and that was one of the themes throughout the entire training camp is that the offense kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, mostly. And I'm not sure, guys, what it is, if it's trying to learn a new system, and it's very intricate, apparently, according to a lot of the folks up there, and it's kind of demanding, but I'm not exactly sure why.
It's ingenious, and it's a wonderful offense if the players will learn it. Now, you just mentioned while we were on break that you saw something on the NFL Network or whatever, and they were talking about, you know, different quarterbacks, and they were talking about their offenses that their coaches were trying to get them to, you know, implement and all that. And Jared Goff, now real quick, Jared Goff obviously is the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And he is obviously very capable, but he was basically thrown out of L.A.
Yeah.
Sean McVay said, I don't want him. He made an amazing trade to get Matt Stafford. And part of the collateral that he was willing to give up was Jared Goff, two number ones and two number twos and two number threes. All that to get Matt Stafford. But all that being said, Ben Johnson took, you know, the raw chicken and made chicken salad out of it, because Jared Goff, over the last year, has been able to run an offense that scored more points per game than any offense in the NFL the last 25 years. The Detroit Lion offense averaged 29 points a game last year, OB. And Jared Goff is not going to be one of those quarterbacks that we, you know, see in the Hall of Fame someday, like a Matt Stafford or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. And yet, this offense gave him the vehicle to lead the league in scoring. Now, this offense is built around play action, something you and I scream before games, after games, during games. Where is the play action? But this offense is built on a conventional system where the quarterback takes a lot more snaps under the center. And that's something that Caleb has struggled with because he never had had to do it. In high school and college, he was a shotgun quarterback. Now, if you look at it, Detroit was in the shotgun only 492 times last year, the least amount of any team in the NFL. And yet, they're the number one scoring offense. Now, what does that mean? It means it creates great opportunities for play action. And it's all built on the premise.
Bootlegs, everything, Danny.
Exactly. And it's all built on the premise and the maxim that he tries to create offensive plays that look different when they're the same, and different plays that will also look the same even going into the seven-step drop series. Now, all those different things, Caleb is struggling with it. We all know that Tyson Bagent, the backup, has looked more effective, more efficient, and more comfortable in the preseason. But at some point, Caleb has got to be able to not only embrace it, but master it. And when he does, then we're going to see this offense take off. Because trust me, Caleb Williams has a hell of a lot more athletic ability than Jared Goff. And if Jared Goff can lead the NFL in scoring offense, we've got a chance to get something special here.
Danny, what you just said, I haven't seen with our quarterback.
I agree.
All this past season. And watching him, in the few plays he's played in the exhibition season, if anybody should have been out there playing, folks, in those three exhibition games, if there's any single player of the 70-some guys that they had out in practice, it should have been him. He's the guy that needed it. Instead, we sit him basically through the entire – basically through the three games. And, again, why do you play him? You get ready for the damn season, okay? And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out what Ben Johnson, the guy he's been so due diligent with – the breaking of the huddle, the cadence by the quarterback, the setup of the offensive line, and how he talks to the people, like his offensive linemen, especially he referred to his tackles, offensive tackles. Reason why you're here, I want to see you tackles, left and right tackles, you have to block the most talented person, our opponents, that's a pass rusher. And that is your number one job. That is what you work to handle them, to take care of them. That's why you're here, and it has to be practiced in the morning and in the afternoon and in the exhibition season. And, I mean, I love to hear things like that. You know, if the quarterback doesn't break the huddle right, he blows his whistle, stops, get back and do it over again. But all that... And saying all what I just said, I cannot believe. And who the hell doesn't he play? He doesn't play our offense.
I know, it's puzzling.
I just, for the life of me, folks, I am stupefied. And I'm a big Ben Johnson fan. And, I mean, what this kid did up in Detroit was unbelievable, being an offensive coordinator. And he holds people's feet to the ground. What happened here? I have no idea. I have no idea. How the hell? And we bring in four new offensive linemen this year. Four new offensive linemen, because what's our problem? The problem is our offensive line. And he doesn't play them. The first exhibition game against Miami, they're in T-shirts. And they're here. We just brought them in. They were in training camp. They played with other teams. And they don't even put him in the game to get used to that position with the Bears and get used to playing with the guys that were brought in with each other. I don't understand that, Dan.
I don't either.
How the hell could you bring in four new offensive linemen, folks, And go back and look at the game against Miami. Where were they? You couldn't tell because they had T-shirts on. Last time I checked, there weren't any numbers on the T-shirts.
But what he's saying, Andy, is the operational aspects of the quarterback position in this offense is so demanding.
Absolutely.
That you need every snap available. And that is what the preseason is supposed to be about. Now, you say,
Andy,
well, what's so hard?
The offensive line. Well, come on. How the hell do you not play these guys?
Joe Thuney, the offensive guard that we signed in the offseason, along with, you know, the center Dahlman and Jackson, the other guard, $150 million contracts is what.
And they're in T-shirts.
And they're in T-shirts. Now, back to the operational aspects. You're saying, what makes it so tough? Well, he has to master the cadence, master the protections, handle the shifts, the motions, and all of that to get in a position in a matter of seconds to run the proper play the proper way. So this guy here beside me, Andy, we're still up in the air thinking, all these things we heard about, we're all happy about. Why the hell did you squander the preseason and not get more accomplished?
Danny, you couldn't have said it more perfect. I mean, I was dumbfounded after each one of the games. What the hell am I looking at here? What are these guys trying to do?
All right, more coming up. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about here. We'll be on until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll get the news, and we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the offensive line in particular. And we will address the defense under the new defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. We'll do that coming up
in
a little bit.
Let's hope that comes true. Again, we ranked 27th on total defense last year. Not good.
It's been like a three-headed monster that's kind of rotated in and out of that left tackle, including the rookie, Ozzie Trapillo, who's gotten some looks there. And maybe some of the forgotten guys from last year, Theo Benedet, who got hurt and was not really part of things at all last year.
Well, it looks like right now we're going to start Braxton Jones. And we all know Braxton has played 4 years. He missed the last month last year with a lower leg injury. Is he back at full speed, full strength? We don't know. We haven't seen him that much. But at the end of the day, Ozzie Trapillo was a second-round draft pick. He has gotten a lot of practice time. He played quite a bit through the preseason. You mentioned Benedict Amagaje. He's on the roster. I don't know exactly what he's going to, you know, become at some point. But at the end of the day, OB made a great point a segment ago that our offensive tackles, yeah, they're in you know, an integral part of the offense. But guess what? They got the hardest job of anybody other than the quarterback.
Correct.
Because they're playing against the premier athlete on the defense, which always turns out to be a Micah Parsons pass rusher. And we're going to have to deal with him twice a year now that he's in Green Bay. All that being said, Ben Johnson knows that there's ways to camouflage a one-week link. Unfortunately, last year we had 5 week links. And now, with the addition of Joe Thuney, Drew Dahlman at center, and Jonah Jackson on the inside, we should be able to chip, slide block, do some different things to kind of protect that you know, left tackle spot that has not been what, you know, we would hope it would be coming out of camp. But you can tell Ben Johnson's a little worried about it, OB. He said, hey, we like our guys. We don't know if this is the group we're going to go to war with, because if a left tackle pops up on the waiver wire, you better believe the Bears probably will claim him.
The one thing that I think is the most impressive thing I've seen here, and Dan, in years and maybe in the last few decades, is Ben Johnson, when he came in, the set of rules that he laid down to his players and to his coaches, his fellow coaches. It's me. I'm the man, and you're going to do what I say. You're going to do what I say. And like when I opened up the volley here, when we started the show, Dan, one of the things that he said for his offensive tackles, he said, your number one job, you're going to be blocking against the best pass rushers we're going to be. And you have to block the best pass rushers. It will not be acceptable. You have to block him. And he told him right then and there, the first day of practice. That's what he told him. And we're going to hold you accountable. And those things you love to hear. You love to hear, you know, the mistakes in the huddle, the cadence, all that stuff, Dan, that is so kind of like infinitesimal, so to speak, you know, during four quarters of a play. It all counts, folks. It all counts, offensively and defensively, each player individually and as a team, and respect your teammates. You have to respect your teammates. You have to understand what the goal is. And what is the goal? To be a world champion. You don't play this game to come in second. Now, somebody in that organization, figure it out. You play to be a world champion. That's the only reason why you play this game.
Well, one of the hidden hands that I think we're going to be able to kind of judge and hopefully enjoy is the fact that with this new concept of going two tight ends, a lot more, Detroit ran more two tight ends and two backs than anybody in the league last year. That helps.
Isn't that why we drafted that kid number one?
Colston Loveland. Yes, yep. We'll get to him in a second. But at the end of the day, the play action it changes when a quarterback is under center as a defensive lineman. It's not, you know, getting your track stance because he's back there in the shotgun. You have to play more man up, and that's going to help the offensive line and the protections.
Great point, Dan.
And everybody goes, why would play action help? Well, because the quarterback having to turn his back on the line of scrimmage and hide the ball until he's either handing it off or turns and makes a throw. He's basically selling the run, keeping the linebackers, keeping the safeties more at home, hopefully buying time for the receivers to, you know, ascertain where their patterns are going to take them. But more than anything else, it will help the protection. I know this. Long ago, we used to play a defense called swim, and we would play it 50, 60% of the time. And a lot of those times I would be head up on the tight end because Buddy Ryan loved for us to get a jam on the tight end. He hated for the tight end to release cleanly into the pattern. He wanted us to jam them. Well, when we get two tight ends, when we run play action, it's going to slow down the rush. And maybe not a full second or a second and a half, but a little means a lot. And this offense will be a lot more capable of neutralizing great pass rushes because going with that too tight, going with the play actions, you know, with the quarterback under the center at the line of scrimmage, it's going to help a ton.
You get a ton more options, Danny, with them under center in the run game and in the passing game.
Absolutely.
You know, you hand off to a dive. Your ace backfield, or if they go in an H backfield or an I backfield, whatever, your quick openers, et cetera. And then you go into your sprint outs, you go into your bootlegs, then you go into your play action, then you go into your play action bootlegs, your passes. It creates more problems for the defense, folks, when you're under center. It gives you more options to the strong side, to the weak side, with both sides being able to bootleg passes, runs. It brings a whole new aspect into a defense trying to guard against you. Now, if you just run from a shotgun all night long, guess what? I don't think that's a really a hard offense to dissect and defeat. I really don't think so. But, boy, when you could come under center – and you can bootleg, and you can play action, and you can sprint out, and you can do all these things, all the quick openers, again, gives you more avenues to gain yardage, to put points on the board, and win football games.
And when, Andy, when Caleb is up there at the line of scrimmage, barking out the commands, on run plays, his pre-snap recognition and decisions are so much more important before the ball snapped on the run plays, whereas his decisions and his vision after the ball is snapped on pass plays. So all of these things You know, it's a completely new offense that Caleb is now, you know, for the first time in his life, having to deal with. It's going to be a little bit of trial and error. And again, we wish we would have seen him do it more in live action preseason games. But all of these things, they're going to have all of this stuff up, ready to go come Monday night, a week from tomorrow.
Real quickly, under center, folks, your quarterback can be more meaningful and do more things from under center than he can from just sitting back in a shotgun, period.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to ask you guys a little bit more about, you're talking play action, and the one element to me that it becomes extremely important in this whole thing we haven't mentioned yet, but I want to get to that coming up here in just a few moments. That's where I wanted to go. I mean, you talk about play action, and I think the thing that a lot of Bears fans are wondering now is the run game and how that's going to be, and is that going to set up the proper type of, you know, the play action pass situation? Because, so let's face it, DeAndre Swift struggled a little bit in his first year with the club last year, and Roschon Johnson was hurt quite a bit at the time. And
invisible.
Now you've got Kyle Manungai.
He was in the preseason. Yeah. He didn't seem.
And Manungai's the young guy coming in here.
Hey, guys, what the hell? Why are you even going there? We didn't play basically hardly any of our running backs that are going to be difference makers. We certainly didn't play our offensive line. What?
Yeah.
I mean, who? What? What running game? That's, you know, the only thing you got is a cross your fingers with, and pray that it works come September 8th at night against the Vikings. And by the way, the Vikings ain't coming here to lose.
Nope.
You know, two things jumped out at me from the Kansas City game on the positive side of the ledger. We've already talked about, you know, our offense looked bad. Our defense looked bad early.
Dan, they're not playing the guys that are going to be playing in a season. That's a fact.
But the two things that jumped out at me was that DeAndre Swift, it was his first action. And, man, he looked good. I mean, he vaulted over a player or two. He was running hard. And I was thinking, that's the guy that we need. That's the guy that Ben John type of player than Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit, the slasher that will put fear in the corners, the safeties, that if they make one slip up, he will go by him. That was really encouraging. The bad news, folks, is we only got three backs on the roster right now, which is Swift, Roschon Johnson, who's battled injuries and was basically inactive the entire preseason, and then Kyle Manungai, the seventh-round draft pick from Rutgers, who I like. I mean, he runs the ball hard. So how long will they hold up? You know, I see a note, Travis Homer, he was moved to the injured reserve. He can't come off for a month. So these three backs are going to have to be the guys that lead us through the month of September. But real quick, you know, I've been watching the Bears a long time, and preseason is preseason. I got it. And the Bears got in a big hole and all that. But for those of us that stayed and watched the end of the game in Kansas City, the preseason game, meaningless, they say. Well, guess what? Ben Johnson didn't think it was meaningless, and neither did Tyson Bagent. He put together a 56-yard touchdown drive to win the game with no timeouts and a bunch of guys you'll never hear of again. But I just thought that was a great little exclamation point from Ben Johnson on the preseason, saying, okay, everybody says we didn't do this enough or that enough. Well, guess what? When it came down to the nut cutting, he was able to find a way to get his backup quarterback to go 56 yards for a touchdown to beat the mighty Kansas City Chiefs. I like that. I liked it a lot.
Well, the one thing that just before we went on the air, folks, I was asking Andy and Dan with our two quarterbacks, okay? The number one quarterback, does it look like he struggles a little bit, even in the three exhibition games, folks? And whenever you saw Bagent come in, was it a quicker game? Was he quicker? Did he make his reads quicker? Was he a faster runner? Did he understand the defense? quicker. I thought that Bagent, during the exhibition season, Dan, whatever you got to do, if you're the backup quarterback, he more than prevailed. I thought he was excellent. I thought they were a faster team offensively, running and passing and indecisions. And he would bootleg out on a stronger the weak side. I saw things that I didn't see with our first unit. That's my opinion.
Well, and you know what? I'm glad you brought this up. There's two things about it. Number one, it's obvious to me that Tyson Bagent has grasped this offense and the nuances of it.
There you go.
Starting with the cadence, starting with the reads, starting with the protections, starting with the motion. All of, and you're exactly right. Everything ran smoother.
Everything was faster.
But quicker. Guess what? Here's something that a lot of people may have missed. 2 weeks ago, they re-signed Bagent to an extension. Did you see this?
I saw the interview, and I tell you, that boy, you talk about the human side of an individual. He was really impressive, Dan.
And it's a great story about perseverance and reward. He has been given a reward for his due diligence. Now, his third year, but here's the point. Giving Tyson Bagent a $10 million two-year contract as the backup quarterback.
That was an add-on, Dan.
Exactly.
It was an add-on.
But the point being is, I think this is Ben Johnson in a subliminal way telling Caleb Williams, I know I'm giving you an awful lot on your plate, and I know you got a lot to worry about and all this, but let me tell you something. We got a kid right over here. It ain't bothering him. And if we have to, we can drop you in a split second and go to him at any time, and we feel good about it. Do you read me? And I'm telling you, maybe, just maybe, this is a kick in the pants Caleb needs, because he's always been the hotshot, the star. Oh, he's the man. He's the number one overall pick. He's this. He's that. Well, guess what? This could be a situation where Ben Johnson is, like I said, basically setting the table to say, hey, if we're in the third quarter against Minnesota and we ain't doing nothing, guess who's coming in? And I don't want to hear nothing about it.
And if you've listened to Ben Johnson talk throughout the preseason, he has not shied away from heaping tons of praise on Bagent, talking not just about the fact that the kid is grasping the offense, but just that he's a smart, a great teammate, these kind of things that you know, he has gone out of his way, it seems, to pump Bagent up a little bit as well.
Andy, and again, I'll say it again. I mean, there's several things you could say, but the one thing that I'll base my foundation on about Bagent is he's faster. He's faster, whether physically
processing
and mentally. Physically and mentally, from what I've seen with the other kid. Okay? I haven't seen too much, obviously, this year with the other kid. Why, again, I don't know why. If anybody should be out there, he should be out there. But what I see, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen come Monday night. But again, I mentioned, Minnesota ain't coming down here to lose. And I tell you, Green Bay made a great move in bringing in that special pass rusher from Dallas.
Micah Parsons.
You're right. This is going to be one tough division, and it's already, folks, the toughest division in the National Football League, in my opinion. We've got some phenomenal teams. We've got some phenomenal players. And by the way, the opponents we play, those three coaches, they're the three best coaches in the league. Again, in my opinion, and I believe in your opinion too, Danny.
Go ahead.
And I really believe, you know, Ben Johnson has enough yank. When I met him at Soldier Field back in May, when I was shaking his hand, I said, hey, Ryan Poles can claim that he made the picks in the draft, but let's don't kid anybody. You made these picks. And he had a big smile, and he knew what I meant, that he was the guy in charge now. And normally you got a general manager that tells the coach, no. Folks, make no mistake. Ben Johnson is the guy driving the bus right now. And all that tells me, he reminds me of Mike Leach. Mike Leach was a legendary coach in the collegiate ranks, where he would take whatever talent he had and maximize it. And Ben Johnson, to me, is that type of a coach that will maximize the positive aspects of his players and do whatever he has to do to win. Unfortunately, we've had coaches like Eberflus that would minimize their positives and maximize their negatives and worry about, oh, we don't want to do this. Ben Johnson will play the quarterback that gives him the most capable chance of beating an opponent. And I'm telling you, we might see this a lot sooner than some people might expect.
All right, 1 hour down and 1 hour left to go here in our preview show. And we've got a lot more to get to, especially the schedule. You mentioned Eberflus. His defense with the Dallas Cowboys will be here in Chicago week 3. And hopefully that's the time that the Bears offense explodes.
Without Micah Parsons. Yes. Name somebody on their defense exactly. Besides Parsons. I can't.
You know what? I just hear this real quickly here. Okay? Enough is enough with the Bears already. It's enough. We've been pounding, flipped, dumped, spat on, drop kicked. We've been thrown all over the field, all in losing manner, losing way. Come rain, shine, it doesn't matter. This is enough. Ben Johnson, turn this damn tide around. Let the quarterback go. Get him out of the huddle. Bootleg him out. Throw the damn football down the field. And for God's sakes, win some games. Enough is enough.
Before we go any further, we've got our starting lineup here. It's our season preview show, but we've got our starting lineup behind the glass. Sammy Martino, Jack Heinrich, and Eli Burke will be helping us all season long. We look forward to working with them again this year.
All returning starters.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
It's good.
Everybody, I'll tell you what. I don't know how you beat these guys.
You can't.
I'm telling you, ask for something, and you get it now.
And with a smile. Did you notice that?
Oh, my God. They're fantastic.
All right.
I'm glad we have them. Nobody else does.
Exactly right. We're going to keep them, too. We're not letting anybody else have them as well. All right, let's switch gears. We talked a lot about the offense in our first hour. We'll talk now about the defense. And one of the best things that I think that Ben Johnson did that a couple of the other coaches who came in to try to run things, namely Eberflus and Nagy, not bringing in a lot of experience around them as first-time head coaches. And Ben Johnson, I think, smart enough to realize that he's well-versed on offense. Yeah, he knows some defense because he has to prepare against them, of course, but brings in a very experienced guy in Dennis Allen to run the show.
Yep.
And I got a question for you, big man, when you get done.
Well, Dennis Allen, the old saying, he's got the pelts on the wall. He has been an accomplished defensive coordinator. And now he was a two-time head coach. It didn't work out for him, but for the last 5 years, he's been in the top 10 with his defense. And that's down in New Orleans where they've had a lot of issues with that offense. So, on paper, I'm really, really happy that he is here. And it's almost an ideal situation for Ben Johnson. He can basically just turn over the defense. He doesn't really have to be a factor. Because Dennis Allen is more than competent and capable of, getting the defense, into a position where we can be effective. Now, it all comes down to, a lot of different players. And the first one on the list is Montez Sweat. We didn't see much of him in the preseason, OB, and you and I, we've brought this up how many times since?
Every week. Every week we brought it up.
Now, folks, Montez Sweat has the capabilities to be, a Pro Bowler, but we haven't seen it. We've seen a splash play here and there, but we haven't seen a consistent, performance where we can say, this is a guy we can build a defense around.
That's impossible. You cannot build a defense around a guy that basically plays roughly 50 to 60, maybe 65% of the time on the field. Folks, against Green Bay, our last game this past season, Green Bay had 65 offensive plays. Okay? They had 65 offensive plays. Montez Sweat, who basically making, like for 4 years, $100 million roughly, of which $74 million is guaranteed, he was in 34 plays. In other words, he missed 31 plays. He's been healthy all year, and he was on the sideline, sitting on the bench, or standing almost half the game. 31 plays, in 34, out 31 plays. Now, my question to you, big man, I'm going to tell you something. Ben Johnson, I'm glad he's here. I respect what he did in Detroit, and he held their feet to the fire in Detroit, and he truly did. But I'm going to tell you, he's talked a lot. He lets this guy sweat. What, you think the other his teammates, you think they don't know what sweat gets away with? You don't think they know what he makes? And how the hell is he – how is he constantly sitting on half a game almost, sitting on the bench or standing on the sidelines? Danny, how in the football gods at this level is this guy getting away with that?
Well, I don't
how?
Think
it, how well, is it possible?
And when Eberflus was asked that very question, he said, well, that's just the way we do it.
That was his quote. What a quote that was.
Right. And that's what you do when you want to have the 27th ranked defense. That's what you do when you get fired and you got to pack up your family and leave town. So hopefully that is, you know, a thing in the past.
You think Ben Johnson, hopefully, Danny, Ben Johnson, he's a taskmaster. Believe me, folks, he is. And of the 53 guys on this team, I hope this guy does Montez Sweat. It is beyond me why you wouldn't want – you're healthy and you're a good football player, a damn good football player. Why wouldn't you want to be out there with your teammates? Play after play, set of downs after set of downs, quarter after quarter, game after game, and try to be the best that you can be and make the guys around you be the best that they can be and win a world championship. Because that's what you're there for. And I don't see it in you. I don't know how the hell it was wherever you were before, but I'll tell you, since you've been here, the word disappointment, that's what circles you.
Well, Montez Sweat and Dayo Odingbo, who was brought in as a free agent, will be the two starting defensive ends. Now, a lot is expected of them. Hopefully, they'll play 85% of the game at bare minimum. But inside is more of a problem. Grady Jarrett, who is a really good player for the Falcons for a long time, they let him go. But trust me, folks. Teams don't let players walk if they think they still can help them find a way to win. So Grady Jarrett, we haven't seen him much in the preseason. We need to see what he still has. And the other part of it is Gervon Dexter. Gervon Dexter is in his third year. And thus far in the preseason, I didn't see it. I didn't see the step that he took. They cut Zach Pickens 3 years ago. Gervon Dexter was the number two draft pick. Zach Pickens was the number three. But if you go back and look at the film, Pickens made more plays than Dexter did. But they cut Pickens. So I guess you could say the clock is on Gervon Dexter this year. Now, Andrew Billings is returning. Billings is a real good, solid player. They're expecting Daniel Hardy and Austin Booker to be, you know, available on the edge to rush the passer. But this defense has got to have a defensive line that creates pressure for so many reasons. But here's the bottom line. Eberflus was running a 3D zone most 80% of the time last year, whereas Dennis Allen is going to go man-to-man well over half of the time. So it's about the defensive line and the defensive pressure. The linebackers, Edmonds, Edwards, they're fine. They're solid. But it's about the defensive line. But the injuries, Andy, we got to talk about them when we come back.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the secondary. That seems to be where all the injuries are. We'll do that in just a moment here. You know, Jalen Johnson got the big money a year ago and is a tremendous defensive back for the Bears, but has not been on the field much. He was dealing with an injury that I think was a leg injury, soft tissue type of a thing, but they did not put him on IR. He's on the active roster, and it sounds like he's going to play in week one.
You know, walking off the street and lining up against Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, good luck.
That doesn't sound like my idea of a good time. The problem is, you know, Tyrique Stevenson, whether you like him or, you know, the issues that he brought from last year to this year, so far it seems okay. But he has been the most consistent and solid of the entire backfield. Think about this. Kyler Gordon, who we really like, and he makes a lot of plays, but he left the practice field last week with an injury. We don't know what it is. He is always getting nicked up. We know that Jaquan Brisker, who missed the last half of the season last year with concussion issues, he has been in and out, in and out. The good news is Elijah Hicks filled in for him and did really a real nice job. But the backfield has got a lot of questions, but the main one is the one you just mentioned. Is Jalen Johnson going to be able to not only start but finish the game, and will he be able to do what he needs to do, especially in a man-to-man situation against what a lot of folks think? If he's not the best receiver in football, it's between him and Ja'Marr Chase. So it's going to be a long night if he's not up to the task.
Danny, I think our defensive backs, across the board, I think they're a little above average. I really do. I think they're a little above average. And what we really need to really get better on defense, because I mentioned, folks, we ranked 27th on total defense in the league last year. And we've given all, when we were closing in on 400 yards that we were giving up from game to game to game, okay? And what has to happen is that defensive line has to come and play football, Danny. They have to excel, especially at the pass rushing ends. They have to excel. They just have to, okay? And how can they be helped? They can be helped by Dennis Allen, our defensive coordinator, coming up with unique red dogs, blitzes, whatever you want to call them, in conjunction with line tricks. If you can do that on a consistent basis, you're going to help your D-backs, and you're going to win football games. You're going to win football games.
And let's talk a little bit, too, about who is not going to be there. And, you know, unfortunately, Zay Frazier, who was the pick that they made in the fifth round, the 169th overall selection out of UTSA, had a lot of accolades coming his way as he was coming into to the pros. But he's going to be on the non-football injury list. And Ryan Poles was talking a little bit about that over the weekend. And let's hear what Ryan Poles had to say about this whole situation.
Zay Frazier, a little bit of a complicated deal because he's going to go on NFI. He had a situation that presented itself in a category that I would say personal. As we dug into it, try to help him out, revealed itself as something that happened before he got here. So credit to our staff, find the root cause of what he was going through. So he'll be down for the year, but he'll spend the time going to meetings in the weight room and with the medical staff, preparing for next season to get ready to play. So kind of a bummer on the front end, but I think because of everyone's hard work and care here, we got him on the right path.
All right, so Ryan Poles discussing, it seems like it's a very delicate situation involving some personal issues that were not discovered in time to make it a different pick. I mean, I think they would have picked him anyway. They liked the talent that they saw. But, I mean, can this kid kind of keep up with what's going on off the field and then be expected to get on the field next year and perform?
Well, and Andy, the most important ability is availability.
Right.
Of all the secondary members that you would hope would have a chance to go through the rigors of training camp, he was the guy, and he needed it the most, and yet he was completely unavailable. He was on the field a day or two, really didn't do much. But unfortunately, that means that a lot of responsibilities as far as the second or even the third corner falls on Nashawn Wright. Now, Nashawn Wright has done nothing that makes you comfortable with his level of play. But I got to tell you, go back and look at the Kansas City tape. He was awful. I mean, OB. I mean, those receivers of the Chiefs were running by him. And it makes you really wonder. And you were talking about, the fact that Dennis Allen would need to counter with some of the injuries and liabilities in the secondary. We need to be more aggressive, more proactive, and blitz more. He doesn't have that kind of a pedigree. You know, Eberflus blitzed 24% of the time last year. I mean, less than a fourth of the time, which was 19th in the NFL. Dennis Allen was less, only 21% of the time, 1 in 5 plays. So,
well, he had talent up front, Dan.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
You know, he had a solid front seven. Now, what will he do when he gets into the middle of a game? We fall behind. Is he going to, is he going to throw it out the window and say, hey, here we go. We're going to crank it up come hell or high water. I don't know, but these injuries in the secondary, man, it makes you start to shake your head, say, this isn't a good spot for it.
I don't think Dennis Allen is going to take a beating from minute to minute, let alone quarter to quarter, let alone game to game. I'm going to tell you what, I think he will change up, and I think Ben Johnson's on board with Dennis Allen. Whatever you want to do, let's go ahead and do it. This is not working. Let's not wait during the following week and try to figure it out. Let's get it done right now, and let's win this football game. That's what I believe. I'd just like to take a moment here. Just a couple of people that are very, very dear friends of mine, Jimmy McInerney and his lovely wife Annette. And boy, has he been having some problems with his teeth and major, like, operations. Unbelievable, the pain. I feel so sorry for the guy. And another guy was my old college buddy, Joe Rutkins, at the University of Illinois. And we played together, and Joe went on, number one draft choice of the Washington Redskins. He played for a decade. He just got voted into University of Illinois' Hall of Fame. So I'm going to be down there in a few
Congratulations,
weeks.
Congratulations, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, I believe I remember correctly, Joe lived in a town in Illinois called Cedar Point, population 300 people.
Wow.
And he came from there, and he's quite a guy. I really enjoy him. He's been a wonderful, dear friend. I'm lucky to have guys like Jim McInerney and Joe Rutkins and my man Dan Hampton. Very, very lucky.
Well, we count ourselves as the luckiest having you here with us. And hey, listen, folks, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, and I'm sure you got some questions, but we're going to break down a little bit about what's going on in Minnesota. Remember, J.J. McCarthy was out the entire season last year, and yet he will be the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings next Monday night.
Well, the coach they have is one of the top flight coaches in this entire football league, and the problem is he'll probably figure it out and make it work for him, which I hope he doesn't do on September 8th.
That's Kevin O'Connell. Yeah, we'll break down the game coming up Monday night. Take a look at the schedule coming up as well. 312-981-7200. That is our phone number. It all starts for real on Monday night at Soldier Field, a week from Monday, that is, against the Minnesota Vikings. And
8 days.
8 days away. And, the Vikings have some issues on offense, but they also have Justin Jefferson, so that takes away a lot of the issues.
Well, first and foremost, last year, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings was named the NFL Coach of the Year. And why was that? Well, they won 13 games, but the main thing was what he was able to do with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was a first-round pick by the Jets, bounced around two or three different clubs, came into Minnesota.
I think he was with five different clubs then.
Yeah, and what did O'Connell do? He dusted him off, propped him up, and put him in a position where he made a Pro Bowl and made a fortune for himself, signing a free agent contract for buku money with the Seattle Seahawks. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means, well, guess what? We are going to see another quarterback, and that would be last year's first-round pick, J.J. McCarthy. J.J.'s from here in the Chicago area, played in Michigan.
He went to play Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. And it was really interesting. By the way, did you know Josh McCown, or the quarterback that was here, is the quarterback coach in Minnesota?
Really?
Yes, he is. And he and Kevin O'Connell led the NFL in intermediate and deep passing success ratio last year. Think about that. Here's a quarterback that was, basically shown the door
everywhere.
Yeah. And and then he comes in and the light goes on because of what Kevin O'Connell was able to do with him. So, you know, best believe that J.J. McCarthy will be able to benefit much in the same manner. By the way, I don't know if a lot of people realize this. We just heard Odunze talking about Caleb and how he's battling and he's trying to do this and he's doing that, which is all good and fine. But last year, J.J., with, you know, being on IR and an injury where he couldn't perform, O'Connell made Sam Darnold wear a helmet with a camera on it. And J.J. and Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, long after practice, everybody else is gone, they would go back over the tape and J.J. would, you know, break down and, you know, go through the reads that were obviously presented to Sam Darnold in practice in different scenarios and different, you know, play options. And from what I understand, J.J. feels like I already went through a season because I watched, you know, what Sam was able to do as far as all the, you know, process of different reads and going through, you know, the first read, second read, third read, get, you know, the check down, all the different things. So I don't think we're going to see a quarterback that's struggling where you hear receivers taking up his, you know, getting his back up for him, saying, well, he'll be okay, he'll be okay. Because, again, Kevin O'Connell was coach of the year for a lot of reasons, but the main one was he was a quarterback whisperer, and we're probably going to see J.J. McCarthy play a pretty good game.
Well, because of Darnold, that's what he did with him.
Yeah.
He took the guy from a garbage heap and made him into a top-flight quarterback in no time at all. He didn't have time.
And talking about head coaching, there was a ranking. I just wrote this down. The number one coach in the NFL right now, who do you think it is?
Ben Johnson.
No, it's Andy Reid. Number two, Sean McVay. Sirianni, who won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, Tomlin, Dan Campbell, number eight. Number nine, Matt LaFleur, Green Bay. Shanahan, and then Kevin O'Connell. So three out of the top 12 coaches in the NFL, as far as, you know, being rated, are the three coaches in our division.
That's why we have, and their record shows it, Dan.
Exactly.
Their record shows it. There's his coaching, though their coaching staff show it, you know, or otherwise you wouldn't have records like that. That's why I said we're in the toughest division, and we've got a long road to go, but I'll tell you what. You just got to meet the challenge.
You're exactly right.
As simple as that, folks. May sound, what does he mean by you got to meet the – every week you got to meet it. Every Sunday, just meet it and take care of business.
Now, we've kind of, you know, mentioned Joe Tooney's name quite a bit. He will be the left guard. The Bears also signed two other players. They signed Dahlman – the center from the Atlanta Falcons, and then Jonah Jackson. Jonah Jackson was with the Rams, but he had played and started 3 years for the Detroit Lions with Ben Johnson and his offense. So you got to feel good, but you know, OB, you made the point. We didn't see him in the preseason.
Didn't play.
So I guess, you know, we're going to, you know, unveil the curtain, they're going to run out, and they're going to play like all pros. Is that pretty much what
yeah,
you expect?
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, fingers crossed. We got to hope that's what happens because the reality didn't happen. Okay, he's just going on a hope and a prayer or whatever the hell it is, which I have no idea why those guys didn't play all the three exhibition games. You know, it befuddles me. And I don't understand. You think that you're going to come into the first game, and by the way, you think Minnesota's coming here with a plan to lose on September 8th, Monday night? They're going to come in here with guns loaded, and they're going to be firing from the get-go. And if we're not ready, we're going to get blown out. We're going to get blown out. And Ben Johnson, this is your opening game. This is your opening game. You came here. You've had this off season. You've had training camps. You've had through went through the exhibition season. Everybody knows what you did and what you didn't do. And now you're coming up to September 8th. You better have these guys ready. Because what you hope for, by not playing these players in the three exhibition games and think they're going to tee off come September 8th and they're going to take care of business, I hope you're right. But I kind of have a few doubts about it, Ben. A few doubts. You can't wish your way or walk your way through anything in the NFL.
And you know what? Thus far, we've really enjoyed, you know, his coaching style, his press conferences, all those things. Everything was really good. And folks, we don't want to be negative, but this man to my left has been a part of 60 NFL seasons. He's seen a lot. I've seen a lot. And we didn't like what we saw in the preseason. It's just that simple, Andy. Now, does it mean it's going to, you know, dictate exactly what we are, who we are, how we are, you know, on that Monday night a week from tomorrow? I don't think it has to mean that, you know, we're in trouble. But all that being said, you know, Minnesota's just the beginning. We're going to go through the schedule when we come back, and we're going to get a little preview of what we think the Bears are going to be able to do, and we'll get a prognostication from Mr. Obradovich about our win-loss record in the 2025 season.
All right, I'm ready to write all that stuff down. We'll figure out exactly what's going on, or at least what we think will be going on with the Bears coming up this season. It has come to that time where we're going to go through the schedule and tell you who we think is going to win those particular games.
Hey, folks, this Monday night game is not an ordinary Monday night game. For the first time since 1997, the Bears will open the season on Monday Night Football. Think about that. Was it 27 years or something? 28 years?
Yeah.
Anyway, it has a lot of the feel. If you remember, in 2018, the Bears won the division and lost a playoff game at home against the double doink game to Philadelphia. And everybody, you know, said, oh, the next year we're going to kill everybody. Yeah. The Packers came in. It was the opening game of the NFL season. It was a Thursday night, September 5th, 2019. And I was at the game. I don't know why I was there. I was on the sideline. And I remember the Packers had a certain air of confidence. And I think this was Matt LaFleur's first year or something. And I was, it really kind of unnerved me. I'm like, boy, these dudes, they have bought in. Well, they won the game. They beat the Bears 10-3. And we know that season went into a tailspin with Nagy and all the idiocy that all that entailed. So this is a very, very important game on Monday night, OB. It's the first time in 28 years the Bears will open the season on Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. Who do you have winning the game?
I'm going to go with the Bears.
Okay.
Every arrow I got is not pointing to the Bears to win the game. Every arrow, I'm telling you. But somehow, I think I want them to win. I want them to win. And can they win? Yes, they can win. But I'll tell you something. Our quarterback, that kid has got to step up to the plate, Dan.
Amen.
Okay? There are 17. We won five games last year. Five! And one was a gift win against the Packers. Five wins, 12 losses. Now's your time, Caleb, to set the record straight. Everything that was said about you, come to the front and get it done. Play after play, quarter after quarter, and win the damn football game. It's enough of talking about your guys, my guys, his guys, their guys. Just get the hell out there and play smart, accurate football. Okay. I like the Bears.
Okay, I think Andy and I do as well.
I do.
Next week. The following week is at Detroit. Andy?
Yeah, I've got that as a loss.
Yeah, I do too. That's going to be tough.
Detroit.
In Detroit.
Okay. And then we're talking about Dallas here That's a 3:25 kickoff on week three.
Eberflus's defense, we're going to bomb him.
Yeah, I think it's a win, too.
OB?
I think it's a win.
Okay, then we go to Vegas playing Pete Carroll.
That's a win.
That's a win.
Let's see, I
then we go on a bye week. Then we come back, go to play the Commanders.
That's a loss.
Andy?
That's a loss.
Yeah, I got it for a loss. Washington, they far and away excelled last year, and Dan Quinn, he's not going to back up.
Dan, their rookie quarterback was phenomenal.
Okay, New Orleans. We got New Orleans at home. That's a win. Then we go to Baltimore.
Loss.
At Cincinnati.
Loss.
Then we're back home against the Giants.
Win.
Andy?
Win.
Okay. We are 5-3 at that point right there. No, 5-4. Now, we got to go to Minnesota.
Loss.
Andy?
Loss.
Then we're back home against Pittsburgh.
I've got that as a win.
I do too. We Aaron Rodgers will not own us in a Steeler uniform.
No.
Then we go to see the world champion Eagles.
That's on the Black Friday game, by the way.
Loss.
Loss.
I've got that as a loss.
Then at Green Bay.
Loss.
I say a loss as well.
Okay, 6-7. Cleveland at home. That's a win.
I'm going to win. Yeah, I got to win on that.
Then we get Green Bay at home.
Loss.
I still have it as a loss.
I got him beating Green Bay late in the season. Okay. I don't know why. Okay, then we go to San Francisco for the 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
That's a loss.
Win.
I like him too. Win. And then home against Detroit in the season finale. Ben Johnson against his old crew. What do you got?
I got win.
I'm going to say a win, and I'm going to say that game just might be not only for Detroit, but folks, and don't laugh when I tell you this, it just might be for us also to get a win to get into the playoffs. Don't laugh too hard because I said
that. And that one's on the flex.
I'm telling you something.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game.
If our QB can come through and Ben Johnson can stick to the way his winning ways from Detroit bring him here, and that coaching staff and our defense get off their duffs and go after people, I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. So I wouldn't be surprised if that game was a very meaningful game, not only for Detroit, but I'm kind of thinking just maybe for us. It just might be, Dan. Just might be, Andy.
Okay. And that would be 9-7 for OB, 7-9 from Andy. I've got 10-7. I think they're going to get an extra win. Now, folks, as we get ready for next week's game, one thing that we haven't seen yet and that we've hopefully will see is a very disciplined team. That is, you eliminate mistakes, penalties, turnovers, all those different things. You know, with Eberflus, the discipline was hard. And there's an old saying, if anything goes, everything goes.
Most undisciplined team in the National Football League.
They were awful.
They were a disgrace.
Andy, what requires zero talent?
Effort.
Effort, attitude, discipline, all of those require zero talent. We've got enough talent on this team. If we can make up for it in those three departments until we can get this offense up, you know, propped up and operating the way it needs to operate behind Caleb Williams or who knows, Tyson Bagent. Like I said, I do not think if we haven't scored or we're down 14-3 in the third quarter, we may see Mr. Bagent. But
Dan, who can prop this team up? This team going into this season. And there is some optimism. There is some optimism. Is only the one thing that has to count for us to be winners and start winning games and winning, trying to get to that damn Super Bowl, okay? And that's coaching. We haven't had coaches here. I couldn't tell you what deck since Mike Ditka. Not since Mike Ditka and his coaching staff and with Dan Hampton, the great Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer, they were world champions. And since then, it's been one joke after another. And year after year, decade after decade, nothing was done about it. Finally, George McCaskey did something about it, and we've got a guy, Ben Johnson, who I'm putting my hopes on to take us back to greatness. And damn it, get it done September 8th, Soldier Field.
Okay, I'll leave you with this story, Andy.
Okay.
So I went to see Coach Dick a couple of months ago. My wife and son and Gary Fensick went with me. And we go in and we visit for, you know, 20 minutes and we're chit-chatting. And I brought up Ben Johnson. I said, so far, what do you think about the new coach? And Coach, you know, he kind of smiled and said, yeah, I like a lot of what he's doing. Just like OB and I told you, we like a lot of what he has done, you know, in a lot of different ways. And I kind of smiled and I said, you know, Coach, he's the most competent head coach the Bears have ever hired. And everybody kind of nervously laughed. And he laughed, too. And I said, come on, Coach, you were a tight end coach in Dallas. And he goes, you're right. He is. I said, if there has been a coach on the horizon that the Bears needed to get and went and got him, we, you know, we applaud the Bears for making the right choice and, you know, rebuilding the offensive line, some of the free agents, this, that, all of these different things. Ben Johnson has been given a lot. Now it's time for him to stand and deliver something back.
All right, so that's your season preview. We've got the season opener coming up here again a week from tomorrow. It's September 8th at Soldier Field. We will have our first Happen to Be official pregame show starting at 6 o'clock that evening, and we'll come back on the air after the game is over as well. And we'll, as always, take your phone calls during that period of time. So we're all looking forward to what might be coming up here on a week from Monday.
I'm looking for some solid victories and really the Bears developing from game to game and week to week and month to month. And maybe, just maybe, Andy and Dan, maybe they can pull it off this year and get back into the playoffs and win a championship.
All right, we'll find out again starting a week from tomorrow, 8 days away until Chicago Bears football coming your way from the lakefront down at Soldier Field. Again, we'll be on the air with you at 6 o'clock here on WGN a week from tomorrow night.
Can't wait.